ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 33, Text 6, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Yannamadheya Shavarnanu Kirtanad Yat Prahvarnad Yat Smaranad Apikvachit Shvado Pisadhya Savanaya Kalpate Kutaf punaste bhagavannu darshanat. Oh, he's here, a Sanskrit pundit. Where there are no real pundits, someone who knows something is considered a pundit. So, yat pravarnad, yat smaranad, api kvachit. Everyone is saying like this, but I think it should not be api. All the devotees, including myself the first time, I'm not a devotee, chanted, Yat prahvarnad, yat smaranad, api kvachit. Not api, should be api kvachit. Yeah, we have to, somehow, it seems natural to say like that, but we have to see what's actually written. Yat prahvarnad, yat smaranad, api kvachit. If we're going to teach Sanskrit, the first thing should be pronunciation, is it not? So, word by word translation. Yet, of whom? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Namadheya. The name. Nama means the name. What does this suffix dheya mean? They're synonyms. Dheya means name. It means like nama jati or nama sakalam, something like that. It has no difference in meaning. Does it give any poetic filling up the meter? So what does it do? So is that then Namadheya means Nami in that case, the one who is named? So it's like that. Nama Rashi, Nama Sakal, like that. Plural. Okay. Translation. To say nothing of the spiritual advancement of persons who see the Supreme Person face to face, even a person born in a family of dog eaters immediately becomes eligible to perform Vedic sacrifice if he once utters the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or chants about him, hears about his pastimes, offers him obeisances, or even remembers him. Purport. Herein the spiritual potency of chanting, hearing, or remembering the holy name of the Supreme Lord is greatly stressed. Rupa Goswami has discussed the sequence of sinful activities of the conditioned soul, and he has established in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that those who engage in devotional service become freed from the reactions of all sinful activities. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. The Lord says that he takes charge of one who surrenders unto him, and he makes him immune to all reactions of to sinful activities. If by chanting the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one becomes so swiftly cleared of all reactions to sinful activities, then what is to be said of those persons who see him face to face? Another consideration here is that persons who are purified by the process of hearing and chanting become immediately eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices. Generally, only a person who is born in a family of brahmanas, who has been reformed by the 10 kinds of purificatory processes, and who is learned in Vedic literature is allowed to perform the Vedic sacrifices. But here the word sadhyaha immediately is used, and Sridhar Swami also remarks that one can immediately become eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices. A person born in a family of the low caste which is accustomed to eat dogs is so positioned due to his past sinful activities. But by chanting or hearing once in pureness or in an offenseless manner, he is immediately relieved of the sinful reaction. Not only is he relieved of the sinful reaction, but he immediately achieves the result of all purificatory processes. Taking birth in the family of a brahmana is certainly due to pious activities in one's past life, but still, a child who is born in a family of a brahmana depends for his further reformation upon initiation into acceptance of a sacred thread and many other reformatory processes. But a person who chants the holy name of the Lord, even if born in a family of chandalas, dog-eaters, does not need reformation. Simply by chanting Hare Krishna, he immediately becomes purified and becomes as good as the most learned brahmana. Sridhar Swami especially remarks in this connection, Anena pujatvam lakshate. Some caste brahmanas remark that by chanting Hare Krishna, purification begins. Of course, that depends on the individual process of chanting, but this remark of Sridhar Swami's is completely applicable if one chants the holy name of the Lord without offense, for he immediately becomes more than a brahmana. As Sridhar Swami says, Pujatvam, he immediately becomes as respectable as a most learned brahmana and can be allowed to perform Vedic sacrifices. If, simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one becomes sanctified instantly, then what can be said of those persons who see the Supreme Lord face to face and who understand the descent of the Lord as Devahuti understands Kapiladev? Yeah, this verse is spoken by Devahuti to Kapiladev. That's the context. Usually, initiation depends on the bona fide spiritual master who directs the disciple. If he sees that a disciple has become competent and purified by the process of chanting, he offers the sacred thread to the disciple just so that he will be recognized as 100% equal with a brahmana. This is also confirmed in the Haribhakti Vilasa by Sri Sanatana Goswami. As a base metal like bell metal can be changed into gold by a chemical process, any person can similarly be changed into a brahmana by Diksha Vidhana, the initiation process. Let's see. It is sometimes remarked that by the chanting process one begins to purify himself and can take birth in his next life in a brahmana family and then be reformed. But at this present moment, even those who are born in the best brahmana families are not reformed, nor is there any certainty that they are actually born of brahmana fathers. Formerly, the Garbhadhan reformatory system was prevalent, but at the present moment, there is no such Garbhadhan or seed-giving ceremony. Under these circumstances, no one knows if a man is factually born of a brahmana father. Whether one has acquired the qualification of a brahmana depends on the judgment of the bona fide spiritual master. He bestows upon the disciple the position of a brahmana by his own judgment. When one is accepted as a brahmana in the sacred thread ceremony under the Pancharatrik system, then he is a dvija, twice born. That is confirmed by Sanatana Goswami, dvijatvam jayate. By the process of initiation by the spiritual master, a person is accepted as a brahmana in his purified state of chanting the holy name of the Lord. He then makes further progress to become a qualified Vaishnava, which means that the brahminical qualification is already acquired. This is a revolutionary statement. coming from. Devahuti, who is herself coming from a high class background, Kshatriya family, married to a Brahmana and living as a Brahmani, and has born in her womb the married to a Brahmana and living and is born in her womb the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who she is addressing, she is seeing him face to face. And she says that someone from the family of dog eaters becomes to the level of the highest class Brahmana if he chants the name of, offers obeisances, or remembers even once you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Vedic sacrifice is mentioned because this is the highest level within Vedic society, the eligibility to offer Vedic sacrifices. One attains that position after the position of a Brahmana, one is born in that family, that kind of family, if one has performed many pious activities. We find in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita the amusing and instructive narration of Nimai at home. One astrologer came and he took the information of this boy's birth date and place and calculated, and he was wonderstruck and said, "Oh, you are the Supreme Brahman, from you all the universes emanate. You are the beginning, the middle, and end of all things." And he said, Nimai replied, you're not very good at astrology. I happen to know that in my past life I was a cowherd boy, and that due to my pious activities of looking after the cows, then in this life I was born as a Brahmana. So, from pious activities, well, actually both the things are true. He is a cowherd boy in his last life. And he was also the Supreme Brahman, the source of everything, the beginning, middle, and end of all, and so on. So that is required, pious birth, to be born as a Brahmana. And then one has to be trained. There are different kinds of, different levels of Brahmanas. The astrologer is not considered a very high level. The highest level is the yajnik, those who are eligible to perform sacrifices. They have to be highly trained to do so, and they have to have eligibility to do so. It means it's understood that even if, which is considered a great sin, even if you were to train someone who has not achieved the eligibility to in such matters, to speak the Vedas in the presence of Shudras is considered a great sin. But to teach someone how to perform yajnas, they have to have the eligibility. And we practically said that we've been discussing about the gurukuls and it's the traditional gurukuls which are still going on. And it's not every boy has the peacefulness of mind and sufficient intelligence and aptitude to go through that kind of education and to be satisfied with that kind of, a Brahmana has to be satisfied with whatever, yadricha labha santushtaha, whatever comes of its own accord. He's not a greedy person. Of course, sometimes we see people going from place to place performing yajnas and encouraging people to perform pious activities of giving profuse dakshina to Brahmanas, which means to themselves, but that's a misuse of the role of a Brahmana. He should be satisfied with whatever he gets, and the attitude of the king is to give profusely to the Brahmana, and the attitude of the Brahmana is to say, "Well, I don't really need all of this." Prithu Maharaj gave the whole world to the Brahmanas, and they said, "Ah, you can take it back. It's too much bother for all of us. We're not. You can look after all of this. We're not interested in being big landlords and ruling over all these things." So that requires a very high level of purity. So the idea is in the Varnashram system is that one performs one's swadharma, according to one's position, and then they may gradually be elevated in the next life, up to the next level, due to their pious activities. And in the Vedic system, the lowest level, actually they're not even in the Vedic system, they're outside the Vedic system, and outside the town, the dog-eaters, Chandalam, Lecha, Antyaja, the different names, Yavana, and other names are given also. So they also have some function in Vedic society. For instance, when a cow dies, then the Chandal will call, they'll come and take that dead body, and they'll skin it, particularly the muchi, they'll skin the cow, and they'll make leather shoe, or they'll use the leather, and they'll eat the flesh also. And among them there may be dog eaters also. So the term dog eater is used for the lowest, very low. Although in Manu he says that the fish eater is the lowest of all. I guess he's not very popular in Bengal. Not very popular anywhere these days. Well, he says that the most, because he says he who eats fish is eating everything. It's like eating everything. So this example is given in the seventh canto. Prahlad says a similar thing. Viprad vishadaguna yuta. He describes the Brahmana who is decorated with 12 qualities, all good qualities, as described in Sanat Sujata, section of the Mahabharata. And that's where you find in the Gita, how many qualities are given there? There's 8 qualities, is it? Shamodamattapa, Shocham, well that's 4. 9, yeah. Shanti, Arjam, Evja, Gyanam, Vijnanam, Astikyam, 9 qualities. And so it may be, the list may be expanded or shrunk. But they're highly qualified in good character. So Prahlad says to Nrsimhadev this, Viprad vishara guna yuta aravinda nabha vimukat swapachan varishtam. Manyeta dharpita mano vachane hitarta pranang punati sakulam natubhurimanaha. He says, again, the svapacha, one who cooks dogs, which means they eat them also. So if someone has got all the good qualities of a brahmana, in Gita those 9 qualities are there. There's shamodama, there's peacefulness, self-control, control of the senses. Shamodama tapat, inclined to austerity, performs austerities. Cleanliness, tolerance of the dualities of this world. Straightforwardness, non-duplicitousness. Gyanam, which in this context means Vedic knowledge, and maybe various, what Srila Prabhupada would call departmental knowledge. Srila Prabhupada often used this term, English term, departmental knowledge. Means real knowledge means Atma-gyan, Bhagavat-tattva-vigyan, and departmental knowledge means knowledge, just like of the Vedangas, knowledge of this, how to do. Srila Prabhupada would often say in the universities they teach departmental knowledge of this engineering and medicine. This is of this world, not actual essence. So jnana and vijnana, realization of that, and astikyam, a firm faith in the Vedic, in the Vedas. So one may have, these are very high qualities, which others than brahmanas are not expected to develop. But despite having all these qualities, if a brahmana is inimical to the lotus feet of Aravindanabha, Krishna, then better than him is someone who's born in a family of dog eaters, which means the lowest, totally uncivilized, hardly even human. Not expected to be religious except at the lowest level. Lowest level means worshipping Kali or her various expansions, and sacrificing animals, no interest in self-realization. Not even imagine that any interest in self-realization could even enter the consciousness of such a person, because their intellectual level it's not developed at all. So such a person, extremely low class. I was just reading this. Where was that I was reading? It was in your paper. This brahmana from a Vallabh Sampradaya background. He was beaten. He once wandered outside the village to the area where these untouchables live. So when he came back, his uncle chastised him, beat him, and had to take baths with his clothes on for even going in that area. As a result of which, he became atheistic, despite knowing all these things. He rejected all of this, which you also commented. It means he didn't have a very good sanskar from the beginning to reject, because there are other people in Udupi area. And I was in a village once. Some brahmana told me that his father, as a child, he was not naughty and playful, but his father used to beat him to learn Vishnu Sahasranama. And he said, "I'm very grateful now. I'm very grateful he did, because he appreciates." He was having a Vishnu Sahasranama recitation, calling other brahmanas in his home. So he invited me for that. So I'm very grateful now. So, even to see such a person was considered, then you have to take a bath. Now that's not only a sprisha, untouchable, but adrisha. You shouldn't even see them in some communities. Here, especially in South India, it was like that. Those two terms often go together. Vednamane, what is that? Bhagavat Jainamane, Shai To Prashanda, Adrishya Asprishya Shai, Hoi Jamadanda. This Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavanda, says that. Those who do not accept Srimad Bhagavatam, they are Pakhandi, which is not really translatable in English. Heretic, I suppose you could say. They are not fit to be seen or to be touched, and they are subject to be punished by Yamaraj. So they're so low, but Prahlad Maharaj says that if such a person, if they are a devotee, if they have offered Maneta Darpita Mano Vachane Hita, they offered their mind, their life, their activities, their words in the service of Krishna, then such a person can purify, even if a dog eater, he can purify his whole family, which are all dog eaters. Whereas Bhurimana, someone who's puffed up and thinks, "I'm a great brahmana," they can't purify even themselves, what to speak of their whole family. So it's really revolutionary stuff, which to the present day, those few caste brahmanas who are still living as brahmanas, and we should respect them for that, and actually sending their children to Gurukul to learn Shastra, but they have a very hard time to accept all of this. They have to, They have to go through lifetimes of pious activities, be born as a Brahmana, and they have to take so much training to act as a Brahmana. And someone comes along with from a cow-eating background or the completely worst kind of background, and they're chanting Hare Krishna. And they claim, on the basis of Srimad Bhagavatam, to be in a better position. We should uphold, this is a better position. Why is that? Because all the Vedic activities are meant for coming to the point of loving Krishna. So if, by the mercy of Krishna and his devotees, someone, even without going through all the purificatory process, even if they're extremely sinful by background, if they take to Krishna consciousness, which is possible by the mercy of devotees, they immediately become elevated to a position better than that of a Brahmana who is not a devotee of Krishna. That is possible by the mercy of Krishna because bhakti is independent. That's another very big topic. How bhakti does not depend upon karma or jnana. The bhakti is, she resides in the heart of the devotee who distributes her. And those who are fortunate, they will take, and by doing so, they immediately come to a platform more elevated than that of a Brahmana. Now, of course, we there are two main divisions of Brahmanas, the Vaishnava and the Shaiva, or Vaishnava and non-Vaishnava. So the Vaishnava Brahmana, then what is their position? They're Vaishnavas, and they're also Brahmanas, so they must be in a better position than the Vaishnava who's not from a Brahmana background. But no, that's a wrong calculation. In fact, they may be in a worse position, inasmuch as if they're attached to the status and prestige of being a Brahmana, they're still in the bodily concept of life. And they think that, if they think that, of course, Krishna is satisfied by their recitation of the Vedas and their performance of yagyas and so on. The yagya is meant for the satisfaction of Vishnu. But if one it has the attitude to satisfy Vishnu, then even if he's not qualified by training in the same way to do so, then the Lord accepts that more. Bhavagrahi Janadana. He accepts the mood of the devotee. And there are many, many instances of this. In Udupi, they have the, what is that called? Vyasakuti and Dasakuti, the two, the Brahmanas and non-Brahmanas. But who's that? Purandara Das was not admitted in the temple. And then the little slot in the window, Kanakdas, yeah. Then a little slot in the window from ours, he wasn't admitted because he's not caste Hindu. That was one, when the British were trying to define what is a Hindu, they said someone who has a caste. So that means that according to that definition, the tribals and all that, they weren't considered eligible to enter the temples because they had their own temples where they kill animals and all that kind of thing. Anyway, let's not get into that. So he wasn't eligible to come in, but the Lord wanted to see him. And the Lard wanted that Kanakdas would have the darshan of the Lord. So he turned around. The Lord himself turned around. And in every sampradaya we have, like Haridas Thakur, we find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, they're mostly from Brahmana backgrounds. But Haridas was accepted by all of them, by all the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They all accepted him as Nama Acharya. They all accepted that his position is superior to anyone who's simply born in a Brahmin family, because he's completely attached to chanting the holy names. At Sri Rangam, there was also one who was at one of the Alvas. He had to stand on the other side of the river. He wasn't allowed because the priest of the temple was coming to bathe. So the priest at the temple was coming to bathe, and then in the Kaveri, so then, and he told this untouchable, you who was chanting the glories of the Lord, get out from me, I have to take bath, I have to go and serve the Lord, and keep away from me. So he went back to the temple to open it early in the morning, and the Lord wouldn't allow him in. He made an offense to my devotee. So he had to go back and carry that so-called untouchable on his back, and then only the Lord agreed to be worshipped. So there are examples, but somehow or other our Brahmin friends don't get the point. There are in every sampradaya that the devotee, it's the attitude of devotion that satisfies the Lord. Dhane jane panditye krishnere nahi pai. What the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Chaitanya Bhagavata, they make this point again and again. It's not by wealth, not by high birth, not by knowledge that the Lord is satisfied. Dinere adhik doya kare Bhagavan. Kulin pandit dhani bharo abhiman. The Lord is more merciful to those who are apparently very low. Why? Because those who are born in a high family, those who are very learned, and those who are very wealthy, they tend to be also very proud. And that is the disqualification for coming to Krishna. So it may be better to be born in a lower family. There's one anecdote of Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan. Two of his Western sannyasi disciples went to Radharaman temple. And one priest there, seeing these two Western devotees, of course they let them in the temple, which that's a big step forward from the past, because always Radharaman allowed Bhaktisthanta Saraswati's followers, but some of the other temples, they wouldn't allow his followers in, because he demonstrated this point that a Vaishnava is more than a conventional Brahmana. So the priest said to these two devotees, it was Guru Kripa, I believe, and someone else, probably Yashodanandan, because those two were always together at that time, that he saw they were praying to the Lord with great devotion. Said, "Oh, you have great devotion for the Lord. So, in your next life, you could be born in a Brahmin family in India and worship the Lord in the temple." So they went back and told Prabhupada this, and Prabhupada said, "You should go and tell him that by his service to the Lord in the temple, in his next life, he can be born in the West and preach Krishna consciousness all over the world." So, what a statement that, but from our, when I say our, I mean the platform of myself who's born in a family of cow eaters, that our attitude should not be, well, see, I'm a real devotee and these brahmanas, they don't know anything. No, our attitude should be very humble toward them. We can state the philosophical point, but at the same time, we shouldn't think, well, this applies to me. We should think that the brahmanas, they're very elevated. The Vaishnavas are very elevated. So I desire the mercy of the Vaishnavas so that I can come to the position of a Vaishnava. We shouldn't think, well, this refers to me. I'm chanting Hare Krishna, so I'm better than a brahmana. That if one thinks like that, then as soon as someone thinks he is a Vaishnava, then Bhaktisthanta Saraswati Thakur says he becomes a branded non-Vaishnava. Now, this point here, one becomes qualified to offer sacrifices. How is this to be understood? The qualification to get sacrifice, to perform sacrifices in the first place, is that one should be born in a Brahmin family, because it's understood that one has a certain, according to one's psychological disposition, one is born in different kinds of families. And then that psychological disposition is cultivated by being raised in that family. So you see, boys who are born in Vaishya families, and women, girls also, they have that inclination, and that being in that culture, the Vaishya culture is very different to Brahmana culture or Kshatriya culture or Shudra culture, even though the Vedic culture is it's one culture, but there are distinct divisions. And we find the Vaishya culture, the very strong tendency to want to make money. They think it's in them, it's something very important. For Brahman, it's not very important. For the Shudra, it's also not very important. But the Vaishya, they want to, and they also, if they're more pious, and that's traditionally of a Vaishya, they want to give in charity also. That's very much part of their culture. It may be some ostentatiousness is there that they have to be seen to give it away, but many of them also, they'll do guptadan, because they know that unseen charity, you get better result for doing that. But that's there up to the present day. Otherwise, how so many temples and sadhus are running on in India? It's, of course, not only the Vaishyas are giving, but the major donors are Vaishyas. They're in Baroda with this one major donor gives huge donations all the time for prasad, mostly for prasad distribution, and gives in the form of grains and ghee and all these things. And ISKCON Baroda is famous in Baroda for prasad distribution daily, and then at festivals, and so profuse prasad and distribution. So he's got that, and he has the firm faith, which seems to be justified by observable reality, that by doing so, he will always make more than he gives. That's also there in at Subramaniam, that family. What's the name of that family? That they're Jains, but they have to... They'll always remain wealthy as long as they go. And what's that well-known family? In they're at Pat Subramaniam. They have colleges and Hegde. Yeah, they give. They have to keep on giving. They give profusely charity. As long as they give them charity, then they'll some benediction is given to their family. So they remain wealthy, and they're well known, all is in very well known in that area, and probably throughout Karnataka for their charity. They all kinds of charity. So that culture. So one born in a Brahmin family, he's trained in that culture, and he has to go through years of training before he can actually officiate in a yajna, especially a public yajna. And the yajna is the culmination of the whole Varnashram system. Everyone works together to the production is from the Vaishyas, but everyone assists in that. The Shudras assist in that. The Kshatriyas, they protect and give facility for that. And then the Kshatriyas, they organize big public yagyas, and the Brahmanas would perform them. And even among the Brahmanas, there are different status. There's the what is it? There's a Hotri, the Ritvik, and all different statuses of Brahmanas. So it's not that by chanting Hare Krishna you become qualified in the sense that of actually being able to perform the technique of doing it. Because the technique requires training, but the qualification in the sense of the purity that is required to do it. Because if someone performs a yajna, he may perform all with all the techniques and the pronunciation and the mantras, and they have to make the yajna vedi, platform for performing that has to be exactly done correctly. Everything according to Shastra, the time, the proper time has to be calculated. So all those conditions can be there. But if the Brahmana himself is not pure in heart, there'll be no effect. Or maybe an opposite effect. So he has to be pure even to go through all that. Even to be born in a Brahmana family, even to take the training, he has to be pure in his whole life. There can be no sin in his life. If he performs some sin, he may be able to expiate that by prayaschitta, but then he won't be considered good brahmana, suitable for performing a major yajna. Brahmana is not supposed to perform any sin. But the devotee comes to a better platform, a more purified platform, simply by chanting the holy names. Now, the bad impressions in the heart will remain in the heart of a person who's chanting Hare Krishna until he becomes completely purified. But still, his purity is more than that of a brahmana who's born in a brahmana family and is very pure in terms of he doesn't even think of performing sinful activities. The devotee is more purified because he's on the platform of devotional service. The purity of a brahmana who's not a Vaishnava, that is, we can say that's cultivated purity, but the real platform of purity is that of surrender to Krishna, which will, in course of time, that will drive away all sinful propensities. Whereas simply to be purified on the platform of a brahmana, still the tendency to fall down into, or to sinful activity, or the pride that comes of being a brahmana, will cause one to fall down. So a devotee is even if a devotee comes from a very low background and still shows signs of not being very cultured in terms of Brahminical culture, still is better than a brahmana if he's actually dedicated his life in Krishna's service very sincerely. He's better situated than a brahmana, even a Vaishnava brahmana, who is more attached to being a brahmana than being attached to being a Vaishnava. You told me this, that at Sri Rangam, when the Muslims attacked, all the brahmanas just stood like this. And that, so there were hundreds of them, so it took the attacking Muslims time to kill every one of them so that they could get to the temple. And in the meantime, the deity was taken away. So they're brahmanas, they don't fight. And they probably don't know how to fight. But, if our deities are attacked, we shouldn't think, well, I'm a brahmana. We should try to defend. I'm not criticizing them because they did the right thing. They couldn't fight anyway. They didn't have weapons, and even if they did, they wouldn't know how to use them. And they stalled the advance of the Muslims, so the Lord was able to be spirited away. But we shouldn't think, well, I'm a brahmana, so I can't fight. If necessary, one should do so. This is Bhakti Raghav Maharaj, I think that was before he took sannyas. He had two legs previously. One leg was bad and it didn't work properly. So one night there was an attack on the temple. So he went down. What can he do? He can't walk properly even before. And people were attacking with bombs and guns. And he went and clearly risking his life and tried to stop them. He didn't stop them. And he lost one leg at that time. They threw a bomb and he was found when there's very small deities Srila Prabhupada used to worship in his childhood. They were there on the altar in Mayapur. Some rumor must have gone out that they were gold, and so those deities were stolen by the dacoits, and he was found after the dacoits had left, because no one else went. They all ran away, including who. And he was found in a pool of blood chanting Hare Krishna. So he risked his life there. He didn't think, well, call the police. It's too late to call the police. And anyway, the police, they wouldn't. What would they do? They're not going to risk their lives for. So That attitude of a devotee, that we can do anything for Krishna, do the needful. Prabhupada, he was in the position of an acharya, sannyasi, but he performed marriage ceremonies for his disciples because they had no idea how to do such things. Later, when others were trained, he didn't do so. But he wrote in the purport, in the Gita, I believe it is, that although it's unknown in the history of sannyas, that a sannyasi will perform a wedding. It's almost laughable to think, how can a sannyasi perform a wedding? But he did so to facilitate the Krishna consciousness of his disciples. So a devotee can do it. Ramanuja also, as a sannyasi, arranged at least one wedding among his disciples because he saw that is good for their Krishna consciousness and good children will be produced. So when we're discussing here about training children, Srila Prabhupada said we want to produce a class of brahmanas. But they're not going to be exactly like the Vedic brahmanas, because for one thing, who's going to train them like that? And another thing, it's not exactly even the kind of brahmana that we want them to be for preaching Krishna consciousness and spreading Krishna consciousness. We bow down at the feet of the Madhva Brahmanas and Sri Vaishnava Brahmanas and for all they're doing in preserving their tradition and worshipping the Lord. But the kind of Brahmanas that we want, they should be very learned in Shastra, which means Prabhupada's books. Brahmanas, they have to study the Vedas. Usually one of three. The Rig, Yajur, or less common Samaveda. Maybe there's some will study two, some will study three, and I don't know if there ever were Brahmanas who studied only. Atharva Veda, but there aren't now. I don't ever see any Atharva Vedis so that usually if they study that, that's as an adjunct, not as the main one. But there must have been, because there was at the beginning the Sampradaya that's mentioned in the Bhagavatam first canto. So we're not going to teach recitation of the Vedas, because in Kali Yuga, Srimad Bhagavatam is more important all the time, but Srimad Bhagavatam is the Sarvavedaitihasanam Saram Saram Hudaharitam. It's the essence of all the Vedas. And we'll get more benefit in this Kali Yuga from Srimad Bhagavatam. So, that Brahminical culture, as much as possible, we can adopt that, but we should not be attached to Brahminical culture for the sake of Brahminical culture. But we should be attached to what is necessary to serve Krishna. That is a higher status of Brahmana. The Vaishnava is more, a better position. He has to see how Krishna can be served. And generally he'll develop these, pure devotee of Krishna will develop these qualities of Shamo Damatapashocham Kshantir Arjavam Evacha Gyanam Vigyanam Astikam. He'll develop all those qualities. As Yasyasti Bhakti Bhagavatya Kinjana Sarvari Gunais Tattva Samasate Suraha. Sarva Shubha Gunagan Vaishnava Sharire, all the good qualities of are seen in the person of a Vaishnava. So these are some thoughts about that. We were just discussing this yesterday, and we can continue to discuss it. What are we actually aiming at in Gurukul? Aiming at means we're shaping people's lives. Karmis do that. They say, oh, you shouldn't send them to make them member of your cult, but they make the children members of their cult. The sense gratification, go to hell cult. So children have to be trained, and then how we have to decide what we want them to be like. In the modern education means they want them to be cogs in the machine of materialistic consumer society. So our aim, Srila Prabhupada said, we want them to be perfect brahmanas. But we understand that to mean in the context of Vaishnavism. We want them to be not exactly like traditional brahmanas, but as servants of Srila Prabhupada's mission. So there's some thoughts we can continue to discuss a little later today, that we're discussing about the direction of our gurukuls and Varnashram projects. I guess we shouldn't get into, we'll discuss more there, otherwise it will go on and on. I guess we could open this up to others if they want to come and join. If they want to come and listen in. I found yesterday's discussion was, we, as usual with me sitting there round and round and often different, discussing different things, but some good points came out. So Hare Krishna, we'll leave it there. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.